Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more. The
score! Foot.
The premier
locker room
show in Chicago. Inside the
locker room.
Because it is Mark Grody's birthday. Because it is Bears Packers 3. Because it is a playoff game. You get not one, but two. Count them, two! Inside the locker rooms, not to be confused with Inside the Clubhouse or Hit and Run.
I was very scared that you were going to say, we're going to skip the low brass, but you didn't say that, so I'm good now.
Well, yeah. You got also, that low brass hasn't even hit yet.
I'm just making sure it hits.
That's a Tyler Farengel question. We got to wait for the low brass here. In the meantime, Grody's just getting more and more amped.
I am. I'm bouncy over here.
His life force is increasing with each hit of the trumpet chorus. There it is.
Legs are shaking.
All right. So now that we've taken care of that, it is time for Mark Grody to take us inside the Bears locker room.
Mark Grody,
yes.
Happy birthday. Well, will you please usher me into the locker room?
It would be my pleasure to guide you guys through the very spacious and luxurious Bears locker room.
It is kind of luxurious.
It is. I mean, they redid it, what, 4 or 5 years ago now? It is an outstanding...
Thanks, Ryan Pace.
Bears locker room. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Hallis Hall looks great. Like, for people who have been going there through the
years.
Where
is he going in this, by the way?
Ryan Pace or Ryan Poles?
Ryan Pace.
He is where the players play, is he not?
Right? That's right.
Well, he was.
I think he's on his way out, isn't he?
He was part of Fontenot's staff, so what happens
little
now?
Little Fontenot over at second base. We got DeRosa and Antonio. So
the Lou on the birthday is solid.
So let me take you through the locker room. I think I would like to start with DJ Moore, who I have not been in front of for a long time because I didn't see him after the game the other day, the Detroit loss. I haven't seen him around the way very much because I haven't been out at Hallis Hall much. So we gathered around DJ Moore, it's not good when I don't get FaceTime with DJ Moore. But as we gather around DJ, keep in mind, DJ Moore has not been on a winning team in his life since high school. That said, take it away, baby T.
DJ is a veteran. What do you tell the younger guys about handling a week like this?
Yeah, this is my first time in this thing too, so I'm just going with the flow, working hard. Everything is you can tell everything has been amped up. Even our practice has been. So I mean, it's a lot of bugs, but like butterflies going around, but. No, it's football at the end of the day, so we gotta go out there and execute.
You really
okay? Pause it.
Take pleasure.
Stop the tape.
First of all, that was so perfect. We love Phil Thompson.
Like that. Yes.
He usually asks tremendously good questions.
That was not a bad question.
No matter the sport. And he had a point. Like, you can be a veteran and learn some things even when you haven't been in the playoffs.
Of course. No, I totally understood the spirit of Phil's question. Totally.
And I totally understood the spirit of DJ Moore's answer.
Yes.
I don't know.
100%. Both were right. He was right to ask the question. DJ was right to answer that.
He's like, I mean, Phil, you and I, we both have the same amount of playoff experience.
It's vintage DJ Moore. It really is. I don't know.
He didn't even use words.
No, listen.
You tell me. You tell me, Phil Thompson.
Is better than what?
Yeah,
what? Like, because he also could have said what?
Yes. I have gotten him hit much harder by DJ Moore from questions that I've asked. What?
DJ, do you have a routine that you usually have before your playoff games? Oh my God, that was so funny.
What do you think about the cold weather out there, DJ?
DJ, you're going to get more targets this week?
All of us.
Does this please you?
What?
I swear he's not like this with just everybody. Like, I think there's something about his responses with you that are
the funny part is he was looking at me
when he said it,
when he was answering the questions.
Even though you didn't ask it.
I think he was waiting for me to ask my usual ridiculous questions. I think he was looking at me like, okay, when's it coming? I know Grody's going to be asking me something. And I didn't ask a single question during the scrum. There was a reason I didn't.
Oh.
Want me to take you behind the curtain a little bit?
I love going behind the curtain.
Should we go behind the curtain? Yeah, let's hear the rest of DJ Moore.
Yeah. Let's go on with the show.
Mm-hmm.
And beating the Packers, it just seems to resonate from you. Can you talk a little about that? Why mean so much to you?
Why? Because they always chirping. It's always like some talking going on somewhere, somehow, during the game, before the game, always. And, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the rivalry, it speaks for itself. But the players that's on both sides of on both teams right now, I think are pretty amped about this third matchup and just getting out there. Make it loud as possible.
Do you ever talk to the younger players about settling down in some of these big moments, these big games?
No,
emotionally.
No, because you can't. Why would you tell? You want to tell a lion not to go feast? Like, what? Like, you can't tell them that they can't go do something. So you just let them play free and just play fast. At the end of the day,
you like that, baby T. You can't tell. You can't tame a lion. You got to let it roll. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. DJ, if you were a lion, what would your name be?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've done it. Sometimes Layla gets hit by something and she just is gone.
That's it.
It's hard to explain. Layla's got you. My mom is like that, where she'll just something will happen and that like then she can't get herself back together.
It's the right combination of contrast and like situation of results.
Is that what it is? I'm figuring you out, Layla.
I can't figure me out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, though. I love that DJ Moore's finally going to get to, you know, participate in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he can't give you anything. It's like, what do you want me to say to these guys? I got nothing.
And I think the best part is, like, the people who ask them, they do the work in the locker room, they ask the most questions, like a Phil, for example, or you just get a more genuine answer.
Absolutely, yeah. When players start to trust you, they'll open up a little bit and they'll play your game. Just really quickly, I actually do want to mention this, because I did say on the air we were trying to get, and we thought we were going to have DJ on the Take the North podcast. Because of my absence from Hallis Hall in the last week and a half, it hasn't worked out. The reason you didn't hear Dan or I asking questions is because we thought maybe we were going to talk to him after the scrum, just Dan and I. So we were pulling our punches, so to speak, pulling our questions and holding back. Didn't happen. Maybe next week, but I kind of screwed up, or the holidays kind of screwed it up. So it's my bad, but hopefully we'll get DJ on at some point in time.
Yeah, because that... I do want to hear him on a podcast with you guys, because I feel like that would be even more fun, even though I know it's typically just you guys standing next to him and talking in the locker room.
Yeah,
but
that's the whole thing, is I didn't want to have to make him get on Zoom and take time away like at night. So Dan and I said we would do it in the locker room. It hasn't worked out yet.
Oh, I'm laughing so hard at that. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and ChicagoRoofingContractors.org. This is Inside the Locker Room with Mark Grody. I want to ask a side question.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the side key to the game.
Aww. Or a side piece.
Which is me asking about a key to a different game that isn't the Bears. How many targets does DJ Moore need to have? Not receptions, but targets in order to have a successful Bears game.
Ooh.
I have an answer.
Yes, please. Five targets. Five.
Are you just saying that because of five on it?
No. Five.
Yeah, you are.
Five.
Number one.
Five seems right because there's an abundance of options. When you factor in Roma Dunze, when you factor in, obviously, the established now rookies who are no longer rookies in Colston Loveland and Luther Burden III, because their rookie seasons are over, their regular seasons are over. I just think that makes sense. Like, five is a good number. I would expect Luther Burden III to continue to be targeted more than him,
yeah,
as Colston Loveland, because he's a matchup nightmare. But I do think Roma Dunze is going to get some targets.
Who's going to get the most target? I'm sorry, Layla. Let me answer your question first.
I'm looking at the number of plays here. Like, keep in mind, the Bears only ran 20 plays at the half. So I think hopefully if you're running more plays before the half, that means more targets for guys like DJ.
I think five is a good number for DJ. Just like if we went back, that's probably pretty close to the average amount of targets that he's gotten this year. And I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Five is the average.
Is
or
it?
At least it was at
targets?
Last check.
Okay.
Yeah, so the week that we asked if DJ needs more targets,
yeah.
It was five. Now, prior to that, it had been eight per game when he had been with the Bears.
It's okay, a perfect five stuff. Because he has 85 targets this season. 85 divided by 17.
Bears. Uh-huh.
Five.
Wow. So
it's good math.
I think Colston Loveland gets the most targets in this game. Who do you guys think gets the most targets? And you're down with Loveland. Layla, who do you think gets the most targets in this game? DJ, Luther, Colston, Kemet.
Oh, my God.
Rome.
I was going to say.
It might be Rome.
I think it might be Rome
again. It might be Rome.
Nah. I don't think that can
stand. They can't just use him as a decoy and a blocker because that would lead to too much of what Ben Johnson doesn't want, which is like, oh, if Rome's there, they're not going to use him. Like, I can't see Rome being used as a decoy or part of scheme rather than actual scheme.
I agree with that. But at the same time, I think Colston Loveland now has shown you how valuable of a weapon he can be. Caleb has what seems to me to be ultimate confidence in him. And now that's a thing, and it's a problem for the Packers trying to defend him.
Okay, so speaking of target counts and snap counts and that sort of thing, let's venture over to the secondary here on Inside the Locker Room, Mark.
Tyreek Stevenson would be the one that Layla is talking about, and this is the first time we got a chance, the media, to talk to Tyreek since he was shut out in the Detroit game, did not have a single snap. So what was going on, Tyreek Stevenson?
No specific answer. As they said, they feel like, you know, Shawnee and Jalen are the best options, you know. Best thing I could do is come here, be healthy, and, you know, just be ready for any opportunity I get.
Elson, this is a new week, so where are you at this week with your thought process?
Really don't know. Same thing. Been rotating in practice. Hopefully, you know, it turns over to the game. But just showing up here. You know, doing the best I can. You know, whenever I get an opportunity, you know, just take advantage of it.
As a competitor, how do you take it? How do you deal with it? How do you focus that energy?
Just focus on you know, just being the best teammate and making sure that, you know, when eyes is on me, you know, I'm being the best teammate that I can, and, you know, that's my main focus, just being a great teammate, and, you know, whenever my number's called, just make sure that I go out there and do my business.
Because it did seem odd that you didn't play at all in that game, at least from our perspective. Have they told you anything differently for this game? Like, have they told you, hey, be ready to be involved?
I was told that last week, and, you know, I didn't get in. So, you know, just rolling with the punches at this point.
But do you say anything to them? Do you ask more questions? Like, why, you know, the whole part of that?
No, because at the end of the day, they believe that the guys on the field that's going to help us win. And, you know, I'm on the same boat. You know, at the end of the day, I want to win. And, you know, if I'm out there, I'm going to help us win. If the guys out there, they're going to help us win. So, at the end of the day, I'm going to be a great teammate and just wait on any opportunity that I get.
So, twofold here, two thoughts of mine. It's not like they weren't giving up a whole bunch of yards, but at the same time, they did not give up a whole bunch of points. Because, like, if you're Tyreek Stevenson and you're watching them give up all those yards, you're like, I can't help y'all? Really?
That's just it, Marshall. That was my exact reaction. If he's not going to get into that game with that chaos happening, unless there's something going on we don't know, how the hell is he going to get into this game?
What was your impression of his mood when he talked to you? Because he is always pretty chatty, and he'll answer questions.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, like, considering the line of questioning, that's not pleasant for a player, but he was very, like, he never...
A willing interviewee.
Very, very willing, as he was approached. He's like, absolutely, I'll talk to you guys, and, you know, he didn't try to break away early. There wasn't a PR media relations person saying two more. Probably there was eventually. But you know what I mean? Like, he was there for it, and he knew that we were going to ask him questions about it. He's kind of turned into a pro in that regard. And he's actually always been pretty – we know the missteps of Tyreek Stevenson. He's always been pretty amenable to the media.
And I think because we always know the missteps, it does lead us to ask, is there more to this than we know?
Well, it's fair asking. The answer to the question is, I don't know. But it's fair to wonder if there's something we don't know. Again, if you can't get into that game where it was just chaos – in the secondary against Detroit, crossing route after crossing route, abusing the middle of the field, nothing working, Deshaun getting burned, Jalen getting burned, everybody getting burned, and you don't put in somebody to give a different look, that worries me.
Well,
for
also,
his sake.
And also, I don't recall ever saying a lot in games that he's a deficient tackler. Like, I don't.
I've never thought that as one of his flaws.
I mean, I feel like there were times where he could have taken a better angle on a tackle. You know, like that has come up. But when it comes to at least forcing somebody out of bounds or like taking angles that a professional football player would consistently take to some level of success,
yeah,
he falls into that category for me.
It's also not crazy on the surface that the Bears have decided that their two top options at cornerback are Jalen Johnson and Deshaun Wright. Like, that's not the problem. Like, I get like
in this a vacuum.
In a vacuum. Like, we've decided that these are, because you got to decide who's your top two corners. They've decided that. But again, with what happened in the Detroit game, how could you not shake things up a little bit?
Yeah, I go back to, that's why when we had this conversation on Monday, and I stick with it here on a Friday, I really believe Ben Johnson thinks, hey, you gave up 19 points. It's my job to get this offense to score, you know, 25 points, 28 points. And that's why I think they're comfortable with the Jalen Johnson, Nashawn Wright pairing as opposed to Tyreek Stevenson. And again, Nashawn Wright, at least with him, if there's anything in doubt up in the air, he might get you a pick.
You know that. Right. Whatever deficiencies he has had in coverage, it's not like he's been bad in coverage, but we've seen him exposed at times throughout the year. You're right. He's bound to come up with a fumble recovery, an interception, busting up the tush push as he did, or at least getting the fumble there.
Well, but here's the other part of this is that I remember talking to Nashawn Wright the week before the Packers game the first time around. And I said, you know, based on the fact that Jordan Love tends to throw up these hop throws, you know, off his back foot, that's part of his game. Now, his arm is good, so he gets the ball there. But it ends up being a bit of a 50-50 ball. And I was like, so you got to like your chances. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. But then what did we not see in that game? We didn't see Jordan Love throw that ball. Mm. And I think it was simply just scouting. If you know that that's something that the opposing team's corner is really good at, and it's a ball you have a propensity to throw,
yeah,
do whatever you can to stay away from that. And I think that's why we saw more crossers, more slants, stuff like that that wasn't necessarily a go up and get a ball, because Nashawn would be the one getting it. In
well
that situation.
I'll go one better on that. Everything you said is absolutely true. But also, why would I throw that ball you're talking about when I can be in the pocket with no pressure on me? I'm very comfortable.
There's not going to be any pressure on either of these quarterbacks, well, by the way.
But part of it was there was pressure on him, and he just got rid of the ball too quick. Like, they blitz looked a lot. They blitz stunted a lot. They actually ran the blitz a lot. And he was like, okay, cool, there's an open part of the field here because you committed somebody else up front. Pass goes there.
He read the defenses very well.
Is Sweat going to have a sack this week, Marshall?
You notice I did not mention him in the portion of this program where I usually mention him.
I know.
Him.
No.
I think he will get a sack.
I think he will. I think he will.
I think he has to.
For a 7-yard loss on third down, I'm predicting it right now.
Is that a little wish casting, or is that?
It's definitely wish casting.
That's okay. That's okay.
How dare you wish cast project me?
Yeah.
On my birthday.
I'm throwing the gravy on your meatball, because that was definitely a meatball take. Sure, Montez Sweat's going to get a sack in the biggest game of the year, because why wouldn't Montez Sweat get a sack and show the Tez effect in the biggest game of the year?
He had 10.5 sacks this year, as it turned out.
He did.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
No, wish casting would be me saying, like, flea flicker.
Or Devin
Let's
Duvernay.
Run it back. Do it again.
How about Devin Duvernay for 65 yards on the opening kickoff? How about that? Do you like the part?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Tez will have a sack, because Tez has had a sack in each of the previous Green Bay games.
Right, it's time for you to have a better attitude.
You're
about
right.
Montez.
I said you're right.
Okay.
I was wrong.
I just love hearing it.
It
I'm
was
right.
Such a well put together question, and it was thoughtfully asked, and it was pure journalistic curiosity. And he's like,
You tell me. You
this
tell
is
me,
why,
Phil.
And Phil handled it great. Phil handled it great.
Love Phil Thompson.
Well, and DJ continued to speak. It wasn't like that was the end of it.
You got to be right. Like, there are certain players. You two know this very well, too. There are certain athletes, when you approach them, you just got to be ready.
It's perfect. More Inside the Locker Room coming up next. An extra segment for you, because it's playoffs, and we said so.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Mm-hmm. Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The School.
Rattler with pressure coming, and Rattler is going to go down. Kyler Gordon. It was something that Kellen Moore told us he was really concerned about. With Kyler coming back, it gave him the ability to blitz him a little bit more. He saw it. It happened.
They're running a screen, right? So you've got to watch Alvin Kamara. He's got to hold a little bit longer. Got to get a little bit more right there. You can see him pivot for the screen, but Spencer Rattler has still got his eyes down the field. So a little mix-up right there where that impacted the protection.
That is courtesy of Fox Sports. That is Kyler Gordon sacking Spencer Rattler. This is the song Nookie by Limp Bizkit on the Mark Grody birthday edition of Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. You didn't come into this world as a reject, Mark Grody.
And but what I can tell you is I did do it all for the Nookie. I did it all for the Nookie. Yes, sir. Yes, I did.
I'm unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. What's Nookie?
I don't know what it is either, but it sounds great. It really does. Like, you'd want to do it for the Nookie, even if you don't know what the Nookie is.
Let me Google this.
So, getting back to this second, now wheels off, segment of Inside the Locker Room with Mark Grody. It is not my fault. I'm not the one who played the music, Tyler.
What did you do with that cookie, Grody? What did you do with that cookie?
Took that cookie, stick it up your ass. Yes, all right. Is Fred Durst going to come on to wish me happy birthday? Is that what we're doing? Fred? Hey, man, what's up?
Is that your Fred Durst?
I don't even know what a Fred Durst impersonation would be at this point.
I know it's your birthday. Just do me a favor. Don't say that phrase again on the radio.
Oh, did you have to dump me?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Okay. So this is the second, now bonus and questionable segment of Inside the Locker Room today on this playoff birthday edition of the show.
Oh, dear.
And the reason we brought up Kyler Gordon is because we're trying to figure out, A, how healthy he is, and B, how he will be used in this Packers game. And this, I know, drew the curiosity of you, Mark Grody.
Yeah, I thought he was the one speaking most clearly, Nashawn Wright, speaking most clearly about Kyler Gordon. So let's just take a listen to what Nashawn said and how much Kyler Gordon would mean.
I think we've handled it well. I think we've handled it like professionals. The coaches have done a good job of just kind of putting guys where they need to be and putting guys in the right spots to go out there and make plays.
You know what? Let me start this over. Hold on. I did not set that up the way I wanted to set that up. He begins speaking right here. The gist of it will be Kyler.
In 3, 2.
Yeah. He's asked about what happened last week, what the heck is going on with the defense, and then he'll get into Kyler Gordon. Here we go.
I think we've handled it well. Right. I think we've handled it like professionals. The coaches have done a good job of just kind of putting guys where they need to be and putting guys in the right spots to go out there and make plays. And I think it's great to have guys like Kyler back, who's a hell of a player, instinctual player, who can go out there and make crazy plays and bend and contort his body in crazy ways. And then, like you said, a guy like Jalen, who's an all-pro, Pro Bowl corner, who basically missed the whole year, kind of just, I think for him, it's just getting back in the flow of the game. I think how many games has he played this year? Like 4 or 5? So I think for them it's just about just getting back into the flow of it. I think Jay's starting to come back around, and then hopefully Kyler can get out there and pick up where he left off and just play his game.
You sound pretty optimistic that he's going to play. Is that the feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I hope he plays. I mean, I feel a lot better when Kyler's out there. So, yeah, I hope he plays.
We all feel a lot better when Kyler is out there. Just don't know if Kyler is going to be out there. Sounds like he will be out there, but keep an eye on him. You know, could be out there and then not out there.
I think it's great to have guys like Kyler back.
So the question becomes, you know, obviously the last time he was ready to play, he gets scratched in pregame warmups, and that makes it very tenuous to believe that he's going to, one, really play, and two, how effective is he going to be?
Yeah.
But I was encouraged when it was Adam, right, who said he looked actually like himself when he wasn't hurt, as opposed to some of these other guys who have been hurt, right? And I just wonder, if you do get Kyler Gordon playing at, let's say, Jalen Johnson levels, like relative percentage to the whole version we're used to, is that going to be enough to make a difference in what they want to do defensively? And does Dennis Allen have a good enough feel for how available he is?
Well, I think the number one question here is, don't let Kyler Gordon warm up before the game. Like, I thought about this too. I'm like, which Bear can you least afford to have another problem in pregame warmups? Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, take your pick.
Yeah, don't want to see that. But they will be out there testing things.
Roma Dunze, another one.
Yeah, I mean, my gut is that he will start. That he will play in this game, but. Like I said, keep an eye. He may come out in the first quarter. He may come out in the third quarter because my guess is that if, and again, we did not get to talk to Kyler Gordon yesterday. He does not have to speak to the media because he hasn't been officially activated. So there's lots of answers and things that we normally could infer from a player that we don't have. But it sure does feel like if this wasn't a playoff game, if the stakes weren't so high, there'd be no way that Kyler Gordon would be playing.
Now, I will say this. We know Jalen Johnson was kind of eased in. There was a snap count there.
Yeah.
So it would make sense if that were the case with Kyler Gordon.
Whatever he can take, whatever he can handle, my guess is that Kyler Gordon is the type of guy who is pretty honest about the way he feels and what he is capable of doing. So there'll be a lot of communication between training staff, coaching staff, and all of that between Kyler and all these players that are coming back. Roma Dunze did give it a try.
Well, and if they're going to be rotating in and out that frequently, maybe it's a series-by-series thing.
Maybe.
But I really hope that doesn't mean a substitution penalty might happen with some of these guys who haven't been on the field in a while either.
I know they're different players, but just because you brought up, or I'm sorry, I brought up Jalen Johnson. His first game playing was against the Lions in that first matchup. He played 20 snaps, which was 33.9% of the snaps. Then, of course, he got re-injured, comes back the second time against the Eagles, and ends up playing 33 snaps, which ended up being 61.1% of the snaps. Now, since that game, he went 61.1, 66, 40.4, 62.5. And then the last 2 weeks, though, he played 76.4% of the snaps against the Niners and then 98.6% of the snaps against the Lions. But as far as Kyler Gordon, I think a 20 snap, like a third of 40% of the plays, like max 50%. Could you see him playing more than half the game based on where we are with him?
It's hard to imagine that would be the case. But if like Christian Watson is just like going off again, I mean, God, I hope he's healthy. That's all I'm going to say.
You just reminded me.
Yeah.
How happy are you that you won't hear these two words come tomorrow night? Bo Melton.
I'm very happy about that.
So then who's the alternative Packer that takes his place?
Ooh, this is a very good question.
And members of alternative Packers.
How about... I don't even really want to do this, but look, I'd circle like Matthew Golden, you know, like that could be a little bit of a problem.
Well, here's
who's their backup?
Matthew Golden did get a target in the first.
Emmanuel Wilson, right? That's their.
Matthew Golden has no touchdowns.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the thing. He's due for a touchdown.
Remember Emmanuel Wilson in the last game where he was just like Josh Jacobs was not effective. I don't think he played most of that game, right?
He was hurt.
He was hurt. So Emmanuel Wilson, I think he had like 75 yards on like 12 carries. Like he was crushing the Bears.
But wasn't a lot of that because now when Malik Willis is in the game, that's what threw their whole defense.
That's
off.
A great point. That's a great point.
Like, just changes what they do.
I hope Dennis Allen also has that backup plan ready of what you do attacking Malik. As opposed to what you do attacking Jordan, because those are two very different game
they
plans.
They were not ready for the backup quarterback, were they, in that game?
Not a mobile
Malik,
quarterback.
I think he was like 13 for 14. He missed like one incompletion.
And then he put the ball on the ground on like a fourth down, right?
Yeah, so, his rating in the game was a 142.8.
What? What?
He went 9 of 11, for God's sake. I forgot about that because, you know, the Bears won and I was happy about it.
Right, there's a lot of things from that game. Like, again, the 8 of 12 on third down for the Pack. Like, there's stuff that you just, I don't think the Bears are going to get away with.
He had 10 carries for 44 yards. He basically ran a college offense where your quarterback is the best player. That's essentially what we saw once he got into the game.
What did Emmanuel, do you have the numbers up? What did Emmanuel Wilson rush for, if you have it?
82.
See? 82 yards. On how many carries? Not many.
14.
Yeah. See? Yeah, that's a
problem.
That's
a 5.9.
That's a problem, Layla.
You can't do that, Bears.
Yeah, you stop Emmanuel Wilson. I don't care if he's not Josh Jacobs.
People tell me that the thing you do to stop the guy is you put your arms around them and like try to use the gravity to take you both down.
Yeah, not hang on for dear life. Actually try to drive them to the ground.
But unlike the 3rd-and-1 run in the first game with Josh Jacobs, which really is up my crawl.
21-yarder.
Yeah, where nobody decided to reach their arms out to try to do that thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, the explosive runs against the Bears have been an issue for 2 years.
And they're an issue with a lot of people.
And this is why I've been tenuous all week about picking this particular game, understanding how the best makeup is a dub. And it's covering up a lot of warts right now from that Bears performance in game 2 of this series. Mm. It just is.
No, you're right. Too much. To the point where it's like it leaves you depending on and worrying about it. And that's the stress part of it. Like you have to come up with these massive plays in order to win this year. And it's been fun. It really has been. And it's cool when your team forces lots of turnovers, but it sucks having to say they have to get those or you're not going to win.
Yeah, so there's all of that. I think we have time for this.
Yeah,
what?
You asked Ben Johnson as a special bonus in our special bonus second segment of Inside the Locker Room.
Bonus.
Let's kick it out to the podium because you asked Ben Johnson about how to improve against the Packers as opposed to what has happened previously. So here's what he had to say about the history so far this season against the Pack.
What do you think needs to be better against the Packers, even relative to winning that game?
Yeah, I mean, they're a very talented group from top to bottom, and we've kept the game close both times we played them and had a chance at the end of the game to come out on top. I'd like to see us play better early in the game, particularly on offense. It felt like last couple times we played, we haven't gotten off to as fast of a start as you'd like. I think, you know, particularly the first game against them in the first half, we did not do well on third down. Second half, we were a little bit better and we had a little bit more success moving the ball. The last game we played against them, same thing. They did a good job with their third down plan and we weren't able to stay on the field. The story of both games so far has been their offense possessing the ball. And when that happens, you just have limited opportunities, limited possessions, and it makes each play and each possession that much more valuable. Their offense is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL on 3rd and 4th down. And so that we got a big challenge there in terms of getting off the field when we get them in those situations. And yet, I do feel good about our red zone defense, and they came big for us last time we played, and would like to see that happen again.
Yeah, the what really stands out to me about that is the third down stuff. The first game, the Pack offense against the Bears defense, they were 8-for-12 on third down. And the second game, the Pack offense against the Bears defense, 6-for-12 on third down. And while we're at it, because this is kind of what Ben Johnson was actually talking about, the Bears offense on third down in the win, 2-for-11. Can you get away with that again?
No.
I don't think so.
Mm.
Come on, Ben. Like, yeah, no, you can't. 2-for-11. 2-for-11 is putrid.
Yeah. And they won the game. That's what I'm saying. Like, these are things you got to look at.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Cake that thing off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of get back in this game.
Did you hear the Packers use the phrase?
Well,
I'm watching the Keyshawn Johnson hit on DJ Moore right now.
We weren't together for this because we got separated by the holidays.
You want to hang out with me.
DJ Moore did reference, without me even saying it, he said, get your get back. And I'm like,
there's a lot of get back that wants to be had.
I know what's up now. I know. I understand the language now. I get it. Thank you, Marshall.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It's my birthday present to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that candy I gave you.
Another year of Mark Grody and another year of Mark Grody just getting cooler.
Getting cooer and occasionally
slowly getting
censored, too.
Apparently. My favorite part of this was somebody on the text line thinking we didn't know what Nookie meant.
Did it all.
And they're like, are you guys really that sheltered?
Well, Marshall claimed he didn't know, but I don't believe that at all.
Yeah. Boomer discovers internet.
Yeah.
Let's do predictions next, shall we?
Sure.
All right.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He came into this world as a Muppet. Look into these eyes. You see that they are googly. Big Bird in his nest and Oscar in his can. Ernie is a guy that lives with another man. Hey, Kermit's on the scene. You know it ain't easy being green, but I did it all for the cookie. The cookie, the cookie. And me can take a cookie and stick it in my yum. Stick it in my yum. Stick it in my yum. Did it take so long? Why did me wait so long to give me cookie? Me got me cookie in my fur. It is blue, make me purr. Me so hungry, does Elmo have me cookie? Does Gordon have me cookie? Who has got me cookie? Me just a sucker with chocolate chip in my throat. Made a mistake, I should give them a break. My heart will ache, eat a cookie, cause I did it all for the cookie. The cookie.
I can't believe Cookie Monster came up with that many lyrics.
Cookie Monster's talented.
It really is impressive when you think about it.
You know what?
Cookie Monster's from here, too.
You know what happened? He probably got with Weird Al. And Weird Al was like, look, if you want to do a parody, this is how you do a parody. He learned from the best, and now he has a hit.
Like a chump, y'all.
Did it for the cookie. I did it for the cookie better than the meme? You know, the one from Family Guy? Where
where he's freebasing the cookie?
Yes. Freebasing the cookie?
I don't know. Both are pretty good.
Man.
Both are pretty good. It's all for Mark Grody's birthday and for Bears-Packers playoffs or whatever holiday you choose for this to be, because I feel like it is one. It's time, crew. Are we ready? Prediction time.
Scary. Scary, scary moment in the program.
Who wants to go first?
I've already alluded to it, so I'm going to do it. 28-27 Bears.
Layla!
1 point?
1 point. Okay. Vegas was right about the whole not a big margin thing.
Okay.
But I saved 28-27.
How
Bears.
Tough of a pick was that for you? Is it as close as the 1 point? I'm thinking it was very tough.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Then you know what I thought about? Home field. Bear.
Bear?
Bear.
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 Bear. Bear.
Mm-hmm.
People are bearing down. I want to be with you. Like, in my heart of hearts, I want this city to be on fire for the next couple of weeks.
Just don't set it on fire.
No, no, no. I meant, like, an emotional... I want them to feel good
Billings.
About what's going on.
Andrew Billings, go run over people.
I want a tidal wave of blue and orange. I want people happy. Nothing makes people happier than the professional football team in a city advancing in the playoffs. It's just a real thing. I've seen it, and it's beautiful.
I haven't.
And I
in a
want
long
it.
Time.
But if they do it, it's going to be because they went against my better judgment, because I'm picking the Packers to win this game. 27. To 25. And here's the thing. I gave Grody all week to let me know why the Bears are going to win this game. He has not given me a reason yet.
Mm.
You're blaming Mark, basically.
Yeah, basically. He went to House Hall. I didn't get to go to House Hall.
As I was in the locker room yesterday, Weezy and I were on the far side of the locker room where Jaquan Brisker and some of the defensive back hangs out, and we were just kind of talking to Brisker, and I said, you know, you guys need to win here, because if you guys don't win, then we're going to have to talk about the Bulls and the Blackhawks. And he did that. Like, he gave a belly laugh. He's like, and then said some very confident things about potentially winning. Because he's a very, why wouldn't he? He's a very confident man.
So he convinced you.
I would like to say that, and I'm like you. Disclaimer: I don't want to stop this run. I want to be on this thing for another. I want them to have to send me to the Super Bowl. I want that to happen. We all understand that.
Send us all to the Super Bowl.
I have the Packers winning
we
this
won't
game.
Go.
I do have
budgets
the Packers.
Budgets are not what they used to
Packers
be.
30, Bears 27. I just don't know how the Bears are going to stop Jordan Love. There's no evidence to suggest that they will.
Sound like me.
The first game.
Act of God?
The
weather?
Maybe. Well, Green Bay knows how to play in the weather, too. In that first game, as you said, Layla, way at the beginning of the show, Jordan Love, 234, three TDs, and all those explosives that happened. There's very little evidence to suggest that the Bears can stop that. The 8-for-12 on third down. The experience factor is a big, big deal, folks. LaFleur has coached 8 games in the playoffs. Jordan Love has played in 3 games in the playoffs. We know that Ben Johnson has been in the playoffs, but never as a head coach. Obviously, Caleb Williams has never played in the playoffs. So I am sorry. It pains me. My prediction is Packers 30, Bears 27. I am hoping for a different result than that.
Baby T, you're wearing green, but I'm not going to hold that against you. Give us your prediction.
It's going to be a close game. With the way the first two games went down, I can't not see it coming down to the final 2 minutes. But the team that will have the ball last will win. And that will be Caleb Williams and the Bears.
Bears
23, Packers 21, Cairo Santos at the buzzer, Soldier Field into a frenzy 2.0.
Real quick, Ray, before, may I ask you a follow-up there, Tyler? In your life, have you ever picked against the Bears? In your life?
Of course I have.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
He lived through the Matt Eberflus era. What are you talking
Brody
about?
Brody was really hoping that you just pick the Bears every single time.
Okay.
I have picked the Bears in all three matchups against Green Bay this season, though, genuinely because I thought they were going to win. Okay. I was wrong at the Lambeau Field one.
Okay.
But I thought they were going to get back at them in the first Soldier Field game, and they did.
Ray?
So back in the noon hour for five on it, use your rewind feature on your Odyssey app to listen to that. I was totally with Layla when she said that the player that needs to have a big game to ensure a win for the Bears against the Packers is DeAndre Swift. I think he's going to have a massive game. I think Kyle Manunga is going to do his thing. I'm expecting big things from the Bears run game, which will lead to a complete inverse of the score that took place in the first Bears-Packers game of this season. 28-21, but the Bears winning it.
Ooh.
Inverse.
Also, everybody always asks... Nostradamus, a.k.a. Sean Sears, who...
Mm. Where is that catalog?
I've got it. I've got his prediction in front of me. He says, Bears 27, Packers 24. Sean is now 15-2.
Oh, for his last two.
He said, I don't have a great feel for this game, but I know the Bears will be prepared and locked in for the first game of the playoffs of the Ben Johnson era. As Matt LaFleur could be coaching for his job... The Bears win at home and advance to the divisional round. We all really want Matt LaFleur to be fired. I feel like that's become the situation here.
I just want bad things for Packers people, I think is really what it comes down to. But like I said earlier,
He's unbothered, that LaFleur.
He'd be one of the first people hired for another job. It'd be John Harbaugh and then Matt LaFleur, period.
I'm just still thinking about what chaos could come from a Detroit coaching room with Mike McDaniel and Dan Campbell in the same room. Chaos, but I tell you.
I do not want to be at Hallis Hall on Sunday. That's what I'm going to say.
Because that would mean the Bears lost.
Right. I want any part of that. And look, the Bears very well could win this game. There's evidence that no matter what you look at statistically, as I just did and Marshall has done, the Bears have overcome that a lot of this year. That's your hope angle as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think they can wait. Like they've waited in so many of these games to come alive. And you brought up the no evidence. Like, I guess the biggest thing you say is Dennis Allen will scheme it up better because he has more players available, namely Kyler Gordon. Mm-hmm. Don't know how healthy Kyler Gordon is. And Jordan Love has done whatever he wanted. And Jordan Love's also gotten a lot better at protecting the football this year compared to seasons past.
He's got the playoff experience, makes big plays. He's a clutch performer. That stuff always plays in the postseason.
And it goes back to what I said before the season started, and then when we got into this playoff territory, they will go as far as Caleb Williams takes them. Caleb Williams can take them to the next round, but he's got to have a complete game, not a second half or a fourth quarter game.
Oh, no, I got unhappy birthdayed. I lost Bears.
Yeah, somebody
I knew
else...
the risk I was getting into here. I knew the risk.
Somebody Bears. Else said, go put your green hat back on.
I like that. Hey,
I do like that.
I'm going to need some prudential security getting out of the building today if we can. Who's our guy downstairs? So he can come up here.
Smitty.
Shout out to Smitty.
Dude, don't tell Smitty your pick. Do not tell Smitty who you picked.
Actually, well, I shouldn't. Smitty and I have talked. Smitty, like when I last talked to Smitty at the beginning of the week, he didn't tell me the Bears were going to lose. He said he's worried. Smitty, one of the security guards here, is worried.
I'm still laughing at that.
You're not helping
that.
The worry.
Bring your green hat.
Neither are you.
The only line that comes close to bring your green hat is put your green hat back on.
Hey, quick PSA. Don't ever wish a happy birthday to somebody.
Yeah, how
Jeez.
Dare you, sir? You know how hurtful that is? And he didn't spell my name right either.
It's the emotional equivalent of horns down. Oh, whenever people get unnecessarily triggered by Longhorns Down, as if you just insulted their entire family, especially their mother.
Yeah. Hook 'em horns. Bears.
We want to ask the question, are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 60 right here on The Score? Well, here is your chance. We have brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 18th. Score Big for Your Business is sponsored by People's Bank, where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC. Coming up next, we head out to Real Time Sports and mix and mingle with Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel next.